Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. I know there's a lot of preachers that are in churches and pulpits, and if you're able to be in your local church, you need to be there. Now more than ever, we have a clear word from the Lord in the New Testament. And it says simply this, "Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but more, much more, as you see the day approaching." And the purpose, it says it in the same text, exhorting one another, strongly encouraging one another. I believe it is also that we can come together and pray in effective intercession. Listen, that's the title of our sermon today, Effective Intercession for Our Nation. I don't think there's anyone listening to this broadcast that is living in a cave or living in some vacuum or bubble that doesn't understand the times that we are living and how critical it is that God move in our nation. Now, I'm not saying that the upcoming election isn't important. We should pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, for His kingdom to come, and in His sovereign power and will that He will intervene and as we intercede. I'm going to say that again. In His sovereign, all-powerful person and will that He would intervene as we intercede. Only God can save America. We have to pray more than just God bless America, as if certain standards must be met in order for that blessing to come. We need to understand and appreciate what we as Christians can do and should be doing in effective intercession for our nation. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. It's one of the most, it is the most often quoted prayer for the nation. And it's the scripture that is used more than any other. However, I want to just quote an Old Testament scripture to ancient Israel that is very pertinent to us today concerning intercession. God is getting ready to send judgment upon the land. And this is what God said to the prophet, "I looked for a man who would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I looked for a man." This is an intercessor. That's what he's looking for. "I looked for a man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and I found none." Listen, he was looking for one and found none. Remember when Abraham was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, as wicked as they were, when the two angels stopped by and they shared a meal together, and the next morning they were going to go to those twin cities. They were going to bring God's justice and judgment upon those cities for their sin. And Abraham began to deal with them for those people. And he said, if you could find 50, amen, begin to intercede. If you could find 50, would you spare both the cities and everyone, as wicked as they were, as much as they deserved to be judged the way they were going to be judged? How they sinned. They sinned so greatly that the Bible said that their sins had reached to heaven. God had to do something. A holy God couldn't let it go any longer. And yet, when intercession was offered for 50, would you spare both cities and all the people? Yes. Peradventure for 40, yes. For 30, yes. For 20, yes. For 10 peradventure, yes. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I serve a God that is merciful. Listen, couldn't find 10, so judgment fell upon those two cities. But God was looking for a man, and God found a man, but he couldn't find 10 righteous. Friend of mine, today there's way more than 10 people who have come to Christ that are genuine, authentic Christians that are here in America. There is judgments that I believe are in the land, and we'll talk about that. But this judgment to destroy, just destroy the nation, that kind of judgment is not upon this land yet. So we need to know how to pray effectively in intercession. Because if all of us begin to pray together, if two of you on earth, hallelujah, agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father which is in heaven. This is the power of intercession when we pray together. You know the scripture probably, but let me quote it. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, this is what God promised to do, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Praise God. Within this great verse, there are conditions that must be met and promises made when they are met. Let's begin by examining these conditions, which I call these imperatives of successful intercession. Number one, if my people, which are called by my name, the imperative of relationship. I like Moffat's translation. It said, if my people who belong to me. See, dear friend, there's great privilege in being His people, His sheep, His children, having God as our King and our Shepherd, our very Heavenly Father, places each of us as Christians in a highly privileged, powerful position, a relationship that ensures great power in prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, dear friend of mine, we have great opportunity to intercede, to stand in the gap, make up the hedge. Because of God's covenant with Abraham, the nation of Israel enjoyed a special personal relationship with God. Listen to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 7. Listen carefully. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? This is God being ready, willing, and able to hear and answer their cry and to meet the needs that they had nationally and personally and collectively. Hallelujah. Amen. God speaks to Israel because of the Old Testament covenant, and He speaks of them possessively. Listen to Isaiah 43 and verses 1 through 3. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name. Amen. By thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Praise God. We belong to God. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We are the people of His hand. And we have a privileged place to intercede. Praise God. Amen. If my people, number one, my people, that's us today as the children of the Most High God. Oh, you say, Brother Venable, that's the old covenant. He's talking to ancient Israel. Yeah, but we have a new covenant. established on better promises, for the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than that of bulls and goats. And if they had this privilege and this power in prayer in the old covenant, how much more do we have this privilege and to pray and intercede in the new covenant? Number two is the imperative of humble dependency. If my people called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. This is an expression of faith in prayer, marked by humility. Listen to 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 27. These words to the king of Judah. Because thine heart was tender, and didst thou humble thyself before God, when thou heardest the words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith God. This is prayer that prevails. It's more a matter of the heart than the head. It's not just faith standing alone. It's humbling ourselves before the Lord. It's crying out to Him for in intercession with compassion. James 4:6 said, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Praise God. Amen. My people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's the imperative of seeking God. We do not just seek His favor. We seek His face. One translation said, seek His presence. I like Psalm 63 in verse 1. It said, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Amen. He said, I long for Thee. I long for Your presence, Your manifest presence, to see Your power demonstrated and see Your glory. Praise God. Seeking God seems to many to be a lost art, a task too costly to pursue seriously. It involves fasting and prayer. It involves taking time to pray, carving time out of the busyness, the distractions, and the discouragements of life, and even the responsibilities of life, to find time to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Amos 5 and 4 says this, For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, Seek ye me, and you shall live. Amos 5 and verse 4 and verse 6 says, Seek the Lord, and you shall live, lest He break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Listen, God will judge nations. America doesn't have a free pass. God, Billy Graham said it years and years and years, decades ago. I remember the statement he made. He said, if God doesn't judge America, talking about praying for our nation, back then it seemed so tame when he said that compared to now, but what he saw alerted him to the need for effective intercession nationally by Christians who would pray in intercession. He said, if God doesn't judge America for the sins that we are committing, as if thumb in our nose at God, He didn't use those terms. I'm going to talk about these sins even back then, but even more so now. Blaspheming God, thumbing our nose at God. Dear friend of mine, he said, if he doesn't judge America, he's going to have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and repent and say, I'm sorry I judged you. I let people get by with the things that you were doing. But listen, the only reason America has gotten by with anything is because somebody, somewhere, is beseeching him to show mercy and grace to give us a space for repentance, an opportunity for to see a revival, not to see this perversion in the church, Christian leaders failing and falling, people in leadership that are corrupt. Oh, friend of mine, how we need to call upon the Lord for our nation today. People are living like that. They want a message that doesn't involve impending judgment. They don't want to hear that. But we need to hear it for our sake and our children's sake and our loved ones' sake. We must have a move of God. Intercession, effective intercession, will bring God's intervention. That is the promise. Listen, and turn from their wicked ways. That's the imperative of personal repentance. Personal repentance. It's not just praying that they, people outside the kingdom that are blaspheming God, that they will turn. It starts with us. Judgment doesn't begin in the world. Never does. Judgment, according to the Scripture, must first begin at the house of God. It began in the temple before the nation. It began with the priest before the nation was judged. God's Spirit first left the temple before He pulled the covering off of the nation. We're seeing corruption, a perverted gospel today, a get-rich gospel, a following Jesus for gain, a gospel with no repentance, no turning from our sin. But personal repentance is essential to praying effectively for revival in our nation. Psalm chapter 24, Psalm 24 in verse 3 through 6. Listen, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity. This is that pride that goes before destruction. Haughtiness goes before a fall. Nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and His righteousness from the God of His salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek His face. O Jacob, Selah. Think about that. That's what Selah means. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Praise God. And His righteousness from God of His salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. Praise God. Amen. Listen, the psalmist David said, when Thou said, seek My face, I said, Thy face I will seek. The Aaron was told to speak a blessing to Israel. And part of that blessing was, the Lord bless thee, keep thee, lift His countenance upon thee, turn His face toward thee. Praise God. Amen. And give you peace. Praise the Lord. How we need God to turn His face toward us, literally to find favor with Him. Enough that we can offer effective intercession. Praise God. And of course, we need to intercede now more than ever to pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the war is carried out in the Middle East and threatens to become more nations involved. We're seeing the very real possibility of Ezekiel's prophecies come to pass when Israel's surrounded by armies set on their destruction. Friend of mine, we're in the last of the last days. When Jesus comes, takes His church out of this world, the Antichrist will step out onto the scene until he that letteth is take, he that is praying. Who has the power down here in the spirit realm that is manifest out in the practical real world? Where who has the power to hold back that the devil would do right now if he could? That is the true believers that make up a true church. I'm not talking about a specific denomination. There's so much compromise, it would be hard to pick a denomination. This is an organization, religious organization. The true church is an organism. The true church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and His members in particular. It's those who humble themselves and pray and repent of our sins and call upon God for mercy for our nation. Praise God. This mighty revival that God wants to send. Are we shaken enough? What is it going to take? Look at what's happening today. And all of the threats that are all around us, the signs of the times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air, the song says. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. But what our Lord has told us is this: occupy till I come. Until the trump sounds, until Jesus descends, until we ascend to go back to heaven with Him and come back to rule and reign with Him, we're to occupy, we're to be busy about our Father's business. And it's not about buildings and budgets and bucks. It's about souls. It's about revival, not just survival. Yes, we ought to do more than survive in these end times. With a mighty move of God's Holy Spirit, we as Christians ought to thrive in these end times and become like a city set on a hill that cannot be hid, because we have hope. And it's not an empty hope. It is a hope based on truth and facts and prophecies and a God who cannot lie and a Christ who's coming soon for His church. So we're not looking for a hole in the ground. We're looking for a hole in the sky. Praise God. We're not looking for the world to the earth to implode. We're looking for a new heaven and a new earth. Praise God. There is going to be a time of trouble like the world has never known, and it's coming very soon, but so is Jesus Christ. It's time to pray like we've never prayed for our nation. It's time to experience a revival. Seek God's face. Seek Him, the Bible said, until He come. Not until we're done, because we don't want to miss the next episode of the soap opera or whatever we're looking at or distracted by. But seek Him till He come and rain righteousness upon us. Praise the Lord. Why? Because when we're right with God, we're able to offer effective intercession. In effect, we're enabled, and we're positioned and postured to where we can stand in the gap and make up the hedge. You know what the gap is? What the gap is? God said to ancient Israel, "My hand's not short that I cannot reach you and save you. My ear's not heavy that I cannot hear your prayer, and I've got the power to answer it. But your sin has created the chasm. Your sin has separated between you and your God. But when that sin issue is settled through humility and true repentance, we stand in a place of privilege and power with God." Hallelujah. And the devil, he can't do what he would do as long as we are interceding effectively, until he that let is taken out of the way. That man of sin can't come on the scene. He can't be manifest. A friend of mine, when we're taken out and there's no one standing in the gap anymore, then all of the evil intentions of the evil one are going to be brought to bear upon everyone living on this planet. But we have an opportunity now to reap a great harvest here in the end time. Here in the last days, here when sin is abounding, let me tell you, something about that truth. Where sin abounds, God's grace doth much more abound. The Greek word for much more, rendered much more, or the Hebrew word is hyper. It means far above. God's willingness to save, God's mercy, God's grace, the door to the ark is open, and Jesus is beckoning, come, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely. Come and be saved. Come and be sealed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come and be safe from the wrath to come. Dear friend, today, if you are a Christian, God is calling you to intercede. Not to pray a little prayer in some group somewhere and forget about it, but to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean go around mumbling a prayer all day. What it does mean is never, ever, ever fail to utilize this place of privilege and power to pray. Don't give up on prayer. For meant always to pray and not to faint. Praise God. Amen. I call you and I adjure you as a servant of the Lord. I want to speak to you today as His representative through these very scriptures and say, let's pray again. Let's pray again. You know, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Yeah, but the Master says, go out and throw the net again. Amen. Go out and throw the net again. Don't give up on God because of impatience. Don't limit Him because of how bad it looks and feels and truly is. Amen. Because God is greater. God is greater. And there's nothing too hard for Him. Praise God. I want to see a mighty move of God on college campuses, in our schools, in our government, in our nation. I want to see sin exposed for what it is, the devil exposed for who he is, and Jesus exalted for who he is, and God glorified before the coming of our King. I want to see many souls swept into the kingdom of God. And I want to see many families guarded from this onslaught to tear the very fabric of the home and family apart and hurt and harm our very children and loved ones. Oh, friend of mine, yes, this is a crucial crisis hour. And we need to do more than go and hear some little message that soothes us into a false sense of security. There's real security in God. There's no security in things, in riches. There's no security if your health is perfect. There's nothing in this world can give you. There's no insurance that can take the place of blessed assurance. I love that song, don't you? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation and purchase of God, born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. Blessed assurance. Hallelujah. Living, we used to sing it. I'm looking back and recollecting when we couldn't wait to get to church and we hated to leave the premises. Sometime we'd gather outside in my early Christian walk. We'd gather outside. We wouldn't just rush home or to the restaurant or wherever, to the mall. We waited outside because we were still in that glow of the presence of God. Hallelujah. And I remember people praying outside after the service was over and the church was locked up, but we were still around, standing around. Oh, friend, hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And we were always filled with what we were hungry for. And we could pray and see God move mountains. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, this is no time to look back. This is a time to look up. This is no time to look down and look around. This is a time to get our minds set on the soon coming of Jesus and our heart set upon seeing God move in our nation. A mighty move of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take more than any revival in the past. But God is a God who is more than enough. I'm going to close with this today. I talked to the lady downstairs. We meet in the second story of Embassy Suites Hotel here in Tampa, Florida. Invite you to come and be with us if you're in the Tampa area, 11 to 12:30. But I was down at the desk taking care of the business at the end of our meeting. And the lady at the desk, God's moving. She said to me, "You know what my favorite scripture is?" And I said, "What is it?" She said, "God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask according to the power that worketh in us." And we discussed that. Yes, of course, it's the Holy Spirit, but what does He do? What does He do? Paul said, "I'll pray with my understanding. I'll pray with the Spirit." This is not power just in there with no purpose or no way of releasing it. Oh, this is power to pray effectively. Power to pray effectively. Hallelujah. To intercede effectively. Someone said of the devil who fears that we will do that, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees. Hallelujah. Whether you're standing, laying in bed, or on your knees, or on our face when we can before the Lord. Listen, the devil trembles because he knows when we pray effective intercessory prayers, we tap in to the power and presence of an almighty God. Hallelujah. And we release Him to move. Thy will be done. Why should we pray that? Why should, if God is sovereign, why don't He just do it? Because He has established a law of faith, and He has established a way for our faith to be released to see answers. And it's in the pattern prayer for all prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. God has a will and a purpose for this nation founded upon Christian principles. I know all the people involved were not necessarily godly men and women, but they were God's men and women. And they had a respect for God. And that's why on our coinage, and it, to the consternation of many today, it still says, "In God we trust." In God we trust. Saw a t-shirt the other day, and I pray for a conservative, whoever they are, a conservative, strong conservative president to be voted in. We've seen how it's gone already. We need a space here to bring the gospel, to preach the gospel, to live the gospel, to share the gospel, to intercede for a revival in America. But I saw a t-shirt the other day. It said, "Trump is my president. God is my Savior." Amen. Let's never forget whoever is the president. God is our Savior. And God may use a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, but God is our Savior. He may use a doctor, a nurse, a medical procedure, but God is our Savior. And He's our only hope in America. It's too much for any one person or group to do, but nothing is too hard for God. Let's pray anyway. Let's seek God in spite of all the pushback and distractions and discouragements. And let's seek Him till He come and rain righteousness on us. What happens then? How do we qualify when we're truly right with God and we're interceding according to His will? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise God. Dear friend of mine, that's you and me today. When we're right with God, we can stand in the gap. We can make up the hedge. The devil better tremble, because God is going to be turned loose through effective intercession. He's going to work a work, I believe, just before the coming of our King. Today is the day that we need to pray like we've never prayed before. For this nation, for our families, for each other, for the church that is in such trouble and turmoil today. The true church is shaken by the falling away and the failure of so many Christian leaders today. This is a time that we must pray effectively. Praise God, and we can, with God's armor on. Glory to the Lord. Listen, today if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible said you're in a precarious spiritual situation. You're in a situation that you would be lost. If you drew your last breath, there would be no second chance. You would be lost. You would go to a place that the Bible calls hell that you rarely ever hear of. We've got to get rich, get comfortable, hear message instead of get ready for the coming of Jesus message. Get ready for the judgment to come message. That's an antiquated message. That's a fire and brimstone message. That's from the old days. Listen, there is a lake of fire. There is molten stones, molten rock called brimstone. There are people in that lake, and they will never get out. Say, you know, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm glad you heard it one time from one preacher who cares about your soul and where you spend eternity, who doesn't look at you as a dollar sign, an asset to my dynasty. You're saying that just because you don't have a megachurch. No, I'm saying that because God sent me to tell you. He's calling you to repentance. He don't want you in hell. He wants you in heaven. He don't want you lost. He wants you saved. And today, if you'll repent of your sin, come to Jesus, receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you will be reconciled unto God. And He will save you today. Forgive your sins. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit. And He will keep you safe from the wrath to come. Come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray.